Now, Halloween, of course, is the time for scary ghost stories, and here's one. Years ago, when Seattle writer Zach Davison and his wife were looking for a place to live in the suburbs of Osaka, Japan, a realtor hooked them up with a dirt-cheap apartment. It was cold, it was old, it was filthy. But Davison told KUOW's Jeannie Yandel that was the least of it.
Right in the middle of the living room, there was just this door. And the door clearly went to nowhere. It was in a wall, and you could see the other side of the wall, and then there was this door, and the landlord's just like, hey, just so you know, never open that door. And we're like, well, that's really ominous. But okay. And I'd seen enough horror movies in my life that when someone tells you never open the door, you just never open the door. So, you know, we never did. We actually hung this carpet over it so we could sort of hide the door. It was strange. You had odd things. Like on the ceiling, there were these little, what looked like little handprints and footprints that were like in red. And we tried to scrub them off. And like we would scrub them off and they actually would reappear, strange as that sounds. And you would hear these sort of like thumping sounds in the house, and it just had this really weird feeling to it. And it was a haunted house, and that's why the rent was so cheap, and that's why no one had lived there so long, because it was a haunted house. You know, our Japanese guests would come over, and they would just know it just by walking in. They'd be like, oh, yure ga deteru is what they would say. Oh, there's a ghost here.
During your time in that apartment, what was the most disturbing incident that occurred?
So the most disturbing incident by far was one night my wife was sleeping and I was asleep, so I only woke up to her just screaming. But she said that the red handprints came down from the ceiling like these elongated hands and then grabbed her and were lifting her off the bed to this sort of like sucking hole in the ceiling. And all I know is I woke up to my wife just screaming at the top of her lungs, and I sort of grabbed her and tried to shake her awake, and she was just absolutely terrified. And so that was the most frightening thing that happened to us in the house.
Well, what was it like for you to have Japanese visitors come over and kind of consistently diagnose what was going on in your apartment? Like, people would come in and repeatedly say, oh, you have a ghost here. That's what's happening.
Well, it was interesting. And because I think that in Japan, they're very comfortable with the idea of ghosts. There's not so much a question in Japan, like, do you believe in ghosts? I think as a country, they accept the supernatural more. So asking someone, do you believe in ghosts, is kind of like saying, do you believe in the wind or do you believe in rain? I mean, it's just a part of nature that they all know and accept. So then when they'd come over, they'd be like, oh, yeah, there's a ghost here. Oh, you should be getting a good deal on the rent then, or things like that, you know. So, and the big question was really, is it a good ghost or a bad ghost? Because all of these ghosts in Japan, like, they don't just sort of exist and sort of haunt the way a lot of American ghosts do. They have very specific desires, and they want very specific things. And as long as you're like, oh, well, maybe someone here was lonely and they just want company. Oh, in that case, it's not a bad ghost. Yeah, it was a little strange, but I got used to it.
Did you ever find out what your A wanted?
I did not. My wife, who is famous for her ability, what they call daikon in Japanese, which is sort of, I guess, like psychic sensitivity translated, she said that basically she felt that it was just an old woman that had been lonely and wanted someone to live there, wanted some company, you know. But she said that the handprints were probably a little different. That was something more malicious. So there was maybe a few different competing spirits there. But the main spirit was generally thought to be just sort of a lonely old lady that was happy to have some people there.
Well, how did that experience in that apartment inform your curiosity about yure?
Well, I'd been curious about yure for even before we moved into the apartment, because when I first moved to Japan, I went there in the summertime, which happens to be high ghost season in Japan. Like in the West...
I have to stop. Yep. High ghost season. Can you explain that, please?
Yeah. In the West, we tend to think of ghosts as being creatures of the harvest, of autumn. We associate it with winter and with the death and the turning of the seasons. But in Japan, ghosts come out in the summertime. That's when they have the festival of Obon, which is the festival of the dead. So during Obon every year on August 15th, which coincidentally happens to be my birthday, so that was very strange also, all of the dead come back to Japan to visit. And it's a very festive occasion. They put out candles, which are to guide the spirits out. They put out special feasts and everything. And so that's when I went there. I went to Japan right in the middle of this, when there was just all this activity going on that I just didn't understand. I didn't understand why there was so much hubbub. And I was very curious about it. And the more that I dove into it, the more I tried to study, the more I realized what an integral part of Japan that ghosts are. And it's something that people have discovered for years. Like one of my favorite writers and researchers, a man named Lafcadio Hearn, went there in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And in his book, Japan, An Attempt and Interpretation, he wrote that that ghosts were really one of the key aspects of Japanese culture, that if you didn't have that, you really couldn't understand the country itself and the culture. A lot of things wouldn't make sense if you didn't realize, because yurei.
I'm talking with Zach Davison. He's the author of the book, Yurei, the Japanese Ghost. He's a writer who lives here in Seattle. You talked a little bit about this already, but what's the difference between a ghost, as we understand it here, and a yurei? What's the difference?
So the main difference, I think, is that like the Western idea of ghost is mainly a storytelling device, right? It can be almost anything, right? We can read A Christmas Carol and see the ghost of Christmas Present. We're like, oh, okay, that's a ghost. Then we can see the movie Ghostbusters and see the little guy Slimer. We're like, oh, yeah, fine, that's a ghost too. But in Japan, ghosts are bound by rules. They have what they consider to be this authentic nature. And to the Japanese people, these rules is what makes them real. They want something which is tied into the concept of sort of Buddhism, and that desire is this thing that links you to the living world. And so when you die with these desires, you know, on your soul, they can form these what like these hooks that sort of bind you to the living world. And part of, I guess, ghost busting in Japan, for lack of a better word, is trying to figure out what the ghost wants. And if you can give a yurei what it wants, then it loses its power and it dissipates and it goes to the other world. So a lot of exorcism in Japan and a lot of these events that are still happening are still very much of modern culture is just trying to divine what does this particular yurei want, because they are purpose-driven creatures. They must have a reason to be here.
Do you believe in them?
So another one of my favorite expressions in Japanese is hanshin hangi, which literally translates as halfway between belief and skepticism. And that's basically where I am on most of these situations. It's, do I believe in him? I mean, scientifically, I would say, no, I don't think that's very logical. But then also, because I've studied so much ghost lore and folklore and I've had personal experiences, I'm like, do I really say, I mean, because for all of human history, like literally every single civilization on Earth, every single, for as many thousands of years that we have history, you have ghosts. And can I just sit here and say, oh, yes, 99.99999% of humanity through all of history is simply wrong? I mean, that seems a very arrogant statement for me to say. And so I would say, you know, yeah, I kind of believe. And at the same time, I'm kind of skeptical. But you may not really believe in Santa, but there's this little childish part inside of most people that still gets a little thrill of hanging up a stocking or, you know, putting up a Christmas tree or, you know, if you really want to get esoteric and philosophical about it. I mean, you can get into those big, deep questions of, do we believe in love? I mean, there's no scientific evidence for this, but it's something people believe in. Are ghosts that much different? Is it that much of a giant leap from one to the other? But I think it brings a lot of joy and wonder to the world to sort of believe in this stuff and to play with your own beliefs.
Zach Davison, local writer and translator. His most recent book explores Japanese ghost stories. It's called Yurei, to the Japanese Ghost. He spoke to KUOW's Jeannie Yandel. It's The Record on KUOW.